I'm Michael White in Brighton, where the dust is settling after the Prime Minister's fighting speech. No question of resigning from him. He set out his record in government. He challenged the Tories to admit they'd got the big decisions on the economy wrong. He invited voters to ask them what they meant by what they're going to do with their own policies. And he set out a few of his own, as if he was certain to win the coming election.
Yes, too much government can make people powerless. But too much government indifference can leave people powerless too. Government should never try to do what it cannot do, but it should never fail what it needs to do. And in a crisis, what the British people want to know is that their government will not pass by on the other side, but their government will be on their side.
And, as is becoming customary, he was introduced in florid fashion by his devoted wife, Sarah.
The first time I met Gordon, I was struck how somebody so intense and so intelligent could be so gentle, could ask so many questions, could really care. He will always make the time for people, for our family, for his friends, for anyone who needs him. And that's part of the reason why I love him as much as I do.
But did the speech add up to a coherent, plausible vision for the future? I'm joined by Guardian columnist Jonathan Friedland.
Well, I appear to like it more than many of my colleagues talking to people as they were coming out of the hall. I thought it had a lot of meat in it. It's true that it wasn't a model of oratorical architecture.
He doesn't do that, does he?
He doesn't really do that. It didn't all hang together in some beautifully constructed way. But in a way, frankly, in the era we're in now, I'm not sure that matters. The bits that people see, even if they watch one of these sort of anally retentive Today at Conference Digest programmes on the TV at midnight, where they have bits of the speech, they only ever have bits. They don't have the whole speech. Right. And bits of this speech will sound quite good.
If anyone says that to fight doesn't get you anywhere, that politics can't make a difference, that all parties are the same, then look at what we have achieved together since 1997. The winter fuel allowance, the shortest waiting times in history, crime down by a third, the creation of Sure Start, the cancer guarantee, record results in schools, more students than ever, the Disability Discrimination Act, devolution, civil partnerships, peace in Northern Ireland, the social chapter, 500,000 children out of poverty, maternity pay, paternity leave, child benefit at record levels, the minimum wage, the ban on cluster bombs, the cancelling of debt, the trebling of aid, the first ever Climate Change Act. That's the Britain we've been building together. That's the change we choose.
You talked about Middle Britain, Middle British values being Labour values. What will Middle Britain take from that? What were the bullet points?
Well, I think popular will be the reclamation of some of the Blairite agenda on antisocial behaviour.
He mentioned him three times, didn't he?
He did, he mentioned him.
That's a record.
But, you know, even more flattering to Tony Blair than that is really this digging back out of the trash can, the antisocial behaviour agenda, which the Brownites hated and put in the bin as soon as they took over.
And starting now and right across the next Parliament, every one of the 50,000 most chaotic families will be part of a family intervention project with clear rules and clear punishments if they don't stick to them.
I think that when people discuss these houses for teenage mums, you know, slight whiff of the Magdalene sisters, but that will be popular. People will like that. We still hear that on estates it's antisocial behaviour that is the number one blight for people's lives. And I think just speaking about that and speaking about it in quite a firm way will be popular, as will the rhetoric against bankers at the other end of the spectrum. They've all focus grouped it, they've tested it. So those things are quite meaty, and I think they'll let people have things to talk about with Brown on the positive rather than the losing side of the argument.
I'm worried about the stuff about young mums and the tougher line against, I think he called chaotic families, on estates. It's a very good description, but it clearly applied to the sort of family who we've been hearing about in this dreadful case in the newspapers. And I wondered whether people wouldn't say, oh, come on, we've been hearing this for years. We have one of these dreadful cases every month. And, you know, we don't believe them anymore. They won't be able to make this idea of networks and homes for young mothers stick because they've tried so much else. ASBOs are treated as a badge of distinction by some children. Somebody once said it's the only qualification many of them will get, an ASBO. But the feeling that, you know, Labour's had a chance to do these things, and here we are, Brown, saying it all again 12, 13 years on.
I think that is an overall problem, hanging over the speech, whether he will even be heard and whether he has any credibility at all. I mean, I think that the problem you've raised is one, which is you've had enough time to fix this. The other one, of course, is money. Many of the proposals he mentioned will cost money. He said at the beginning, don't worry, I've costed this all, it will be fine. But he didn't do that point by point. And so when you're starting talking about live-in care for the elderly, these things cost money.
Yeah,
and people might say this is...
The cuts almost disappeared. He said, I'm telling you it straight, we've got to make a few cuts and then we've got to tax the rich and then it's all gone, poof, like a puff of smoke.
Exactly. In half a line, he was back in what could be, if you were the Tories or the Lib Dems, you could say he's back in fantasy land, almost the territory we used to mock the Lib Dems for permanently being in, which is proposal after proposal that costs money.
And we will create new designated low-carbon zones around the region of this country. And I say to you today, we will create over 250,000 new green British jobs.
Last point, Middle Guardian Britain. Are people going to be impressed by that slightly half-hearted pledge to have a referendum at some point in the future when he's unlikely to be Prime Minister anyway on the alternative voting system of electoral reform for Westminster?
It depends how over-sophisticated they are. Some will be disappointed because they'll think he's postponed it into the middle distance. The really anoraks on this might think he's actually done them a favour because there was a view that if he attached it to a referendum on polling day when Labour gets hiding... it could taint that
That's
proposal and take
said,
it down with it.
He said, don't take my ambitions down with yours.
Exactly. It could be the only chance PR or fair voting of any kind gets a chance, and it gets dragged down by Labour's taking a battering on election day. So it depends if you overthink it. There was something there about ID cards. There was, you know,
I didn't understand that. Was it a real pledge or was it a fake pledge?
I think it's something that's already been said, hasn't
that's
it?
I thought
Alan Johnson's, I think, already said that there won't be compulsory ID cards. So that was a bit of a non-one. But the response to it in the hall binds them to it now because it was so popular. So I think some Guardian readers will be happy. And also what is now a very distant memory. It used to be a big part of these speeches when Blair was giving them was the war on terror, foreign engagement, foreign entanglements. He now deals with that in a line or two. And for the Middle Guardian reader, it's a relief, in a way, to be away from that.
Brown's speech was roundly applauded by his cabinet, but he will be acutely aware that many, fearful of his defeat in the coming election, are jockeying for position, shoring up potential support at fringe events around Brighton all week, just in case next year sometime there's a contest. Did the speech do enough, however, to enthuse the party's grassroots, the people who will be out leafleting, door-knocking, driving out the Labour vote in the months ahead, despite all the demoralisation, all the talk of gloom and defeat in the polls?
It was a good speech. It was good. Not fantastic. I think a little bit nervous.
Doesn't do fantastic, does it?
Doesn't do fantastic, but a competent, a lot of good content.
What points of substance did you pick out?
I like the idea of the social equality, justice, fairness. That resonated in a big way.
Referendum on the alternative vote, PR
that's
system?
That's interesting. I'm not completely convinced about PR. I think that it empowers the BNP at a disproportionate level, but it's good. It's good stuff.
John Speller, MP, what do you think of that? You've heard a lot of speeches like that.
Yeah, I thought very good. But what I thought particularly was it was getting across a very clear message to my constituents, to what is referred to. And I like the way Gordon Brown dealt with it, the various descriptions of Middle England and Middle England values, and not just the rhetoric, but also showing how in government we've been addressing their concerns.
What do you think of that?
I thought it was a fantastic speech.
Have you heard a leader's speech before?
Yes, I have. Kid Gordon's last year, so.
Okay. And so you're going out happy from that, fired up?
Yeah, I think so. And I think it's about time he actually challenged the Tories on the fact they seemingly have no policies.
Is that the bit that you took out of it, or were there policy things? What about PR voting? Young people like that.
I think it's really exciting. I'll wait to see sort of what the question is that goes to the referendum. We've actually listened to what the country said, and he's gone up and come up with some concrete policies, and it's really impressive to see that, as well as actually talking about Labour values.
Here's what one of his potential successors, Ed Miliband, had to say.
I think it was a very exciting speech. I think what Gordon was signalling very clearly was that this is not an election between change and the status quo, it's what type of change do you want. And he was signalling very clear change in our political system, in the way we look after elderly people in this country, and in our economy as well, with what he said about bonuses and the financial system. So I think it was a speech of someone who is determined to win the coming election. I think it's a speech of someone who is confident, and I think it's a speech of someone who's very clear about what he believes in. So I think it was an excellent speech.
The Guardian's parliamentary sketchwriter Simon Hoggart is here this week. What did you make of Brown's performance, Simon?
Well, he says he's not on pills, and it's denied, but he's clearly on something. He looked incredibly hyped up, given the sort of desperate state the party seems to be in. And they loved him. They really adored him. They want to be given some kind of hope, even if it's false hope, and that's what he offered. He also offered some very, very vague generalities. He said that we shouldn't dream small dreams, we should dream big dreams. I don't know what a big dream is. Has it been stranded in a barrage balloon with Cyril Smith? I don't quite know. But, dreams so enormous you'll need a forklift truck to get you out of bed. It was also, there was something dreamlike about the whole thing, actually, because, of course, what he was doing was describing a very, very busy programme for a Labour government coming up, which included, abolition of the hereditary principle in the House of Lords, move to proportional representation, action squads to go into estates where there's a lot of trouble, clearing up our town centres, more barracks for teenage single mums to live in. Extraordinary amount of stuff that he produced. It's just one slight problem. They've got to get re-elected, and that's not looking terribly likely at the moment.
So, mixed responses to Brown, but one man who has united the conference in a great praise for his speech this week is Peter Mandelson. Last night, the First Secretary took to the conference fringe for an interview with The Observer's Andrew Rawnsley.
Let's just talk about your two, as we saw in the film, rather attenuated periods in the cabinet.
Yeah.
Twice, your closest, or one of your closest friends in politics, Tony Blair, sacks you from the cabinet.
He was my closest friend.
How could he do that to you, your closest friend?
With amazing ease. and a surprising lack of restraint. I have taken him up on this since.
Yeah. And what's his excuse, especially for the second defenestration, which a lot of people agree with Mike
White
wasn't
fair. I think the second defenestration, I think, he would now accept, as he puts it in his very Tony-ish way, if I had been in full possession of the facts then that I now have, I wouldn't have been brought to the same conclusion that I then reached.
Yes.
It's deliciously Tony-ish.
Yeah. He was a ruthless bastard to do that to you, isn't he?
But you have to understand that's one of the reasons why I admired him and followed him.
This afternoon, Ed Balls takes to the stage, and our education editor, Polly Curtis, is here to tell us what's he going to say.
Balls is going to set out new plans to tackle bad behaviour in schools, and this really expands on what the Prime Minister was saying yesterday about antisocial behaviour orders and taking more court action to make families abide by them. So there will be a new strategy for behaviour in schools, and this comes after a 3-year inquiry by the government's behaviour cell. And it will set out everything that parents have to do to back schools to tackle children's bad behaviour. It will set out what is expected of teachers, head teachers, parents and children to stop the kind of problems we see in a minority of schools. The second big point we know about at this stage, the speech isn't until this afternoon, so the second big point we know about is he's going to talk a lot about funding and the real kind of dividing line now between the Tories and Labour. Gordon Brown said yesterday that school budgets will be protected for the next 5 years, and actually they'll get more money as part of the action to dig the country out of recession, to really retrain young people. And Balls will be talking about that as well, which is interesting considering that only last weekend we heard about the £2 billion worth of cuts he was planning to make from his department. But I'm told that those two things are compatible. It's not a U-turn on his part. And what he was talking about is making savings so that they can be put back into education to improve frontline services.
Well, there we are, Gordon Brown's speech. Many of my colleagues marked it more harshly than me, many more generously. He set out his stall. He said there's still petrol in the tank. We've still got ideas. And he's there for the duration now. They're all in this together.